The Big is back. Corporate giants were on the defense for decades. Now they have the advantage again. In 1996, in one of his most celebrated phases, Bill Clinton declared that the era of big government is over. He might have added that the era of big companies was over too. The organization that defined capitalism for much of the 20th century was then in retreat, attacked by corporate raiders, harassed by shareholders, and outfoxed by entrepreneurs. Today, the balance of advantage may be shifting again. To a degree, the financial crisis is responsible. It has devastated the venture capital market, the lifeblood of many young firms. Governments have been rescuing companies they consider too big to fail, such as Citigroup and General Motors. Recession is squeezing out smaller and less well-connected firms. Of course, big companies never went away. There were still plenty of first-rate ones. Unilever and Toyota continued to innovate through thick and thin. And not all startups were models of success. Netscape and Enron promised to revolutionize their industries, only to crash and burn. Nevertheless, the balance had shifted in favor of small organizations. The entrepreneurial boom was supercharged by two developments. Deregulation opened protected markets. Some national champions, such as AT&T, were broken up. Others saw their markets eaten up by swift-footed newcomers. The arrival of the personal computer in the 1970s and the internet in the 1990s created an army of successful startups. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak founded Apple Computer in 1976 in the Jobs family's garage. Microsoft and Dell Computer were both founded by teenagers in 1975 and 1984, respectively. Larry Page and Sergey Brin started Google in Stanford dorm rooms. Two further developments are shifting the balance of advantage in favor of size. One is a heightened awareness of the risks of subcontracting. Toy companies and pet food firms alike have found that their brands can be tainted if their suppliers turn out shoddy goods. Big industrial companies have learned that their production cycles can be disrupted if contractors are not up to the mark. Boeing, once a champion of outsourcing, has been forced to take over faltering suppliers. The second is the emergence of companies that have discovered how to be entrepreneurial as well as big. These giants are getting better at minimizing the costs of size, such as longer, more complex chains of managerial command, while exploiting its advantages, such as presence in several markets and access to a large talent pool. Cisco Systems is pioneering the use of its own video technology to improve communications between its employees. IBM has carried out several company-wide brainstorming exercises, recently involving more than 150,000 people, that have encouraged it to put more emphasis, for example, on green computing. Disney has successfully ingested Pixar's creative magic. You might suppose that the return of the mighty, now better equipped to crush the competition, is something to worry about. Not necessarily. Big is not always ugly, just as small is not always beautiful. Most entrepreneurs dream of turning their startups into giants, or at least of selling them to giants for a fortune. There is a symbiosis between large and small. Cloud computing would not provide young firms with access to huge amounts of computer power if big companies had not created giant servers. Biotech startups would go bust were they not given work by giants with deep pockets.